Whether you are a brand, agency, or content creator, collaborating with some of the world's leading digital platforms can help to grow your brand. In this episode, we kick off our series of conversations with some of the world's leading digital platforms to get a sense of opportunities to collaborate. Google's head of B2B marketing in sub-Saharan Africa and head of marketing in South Africa, Asha Patel, joins me to talk about opportunities within Google and YouTube for both brands and content creators.
We've got a YouTube partner program where creators need to have over 1,000 subscribers and more than 4,000 hours of watch time within a 12-month period. And that makes you eligible for this YouTube partner program.
We talk about some of the funding opportunities available for small businesses and content creators across YouTube and Google.
We've got, you know, this massive YouTube Shorts Fund, which gives Shorts creators access to $100 million. And that Shorts Fund is available in more than 100 countries now. And, you know, SSA, our markets across SSA are within that 100.
We also get into how brands can optimize their advertising for YouTube.
We shared this framework called the ABCD framework, and this is a framework for creative recommendations that assists you as a creative to actually create video content that, you know, performs particularly well on YouTube.
This is The Lead Creative. Welcome to The Lead Creative Podcast, where we talk to creative industry leaders, influencers, and brands. We discuss the strategies that influence brand thinking and shape industries. Thought leaders and heads of agencies let us in on some of their thinking and insights. I'm your host, Mongezi Mthathi. Enjoy the show and please share and subscribe. Asha, thank you very much for making the time to join us this morning. Just before we start, just a simple sort of easy question. What's your one favorite thing about being part of the creative industry?
Wow. Firstly, thank you for having me. And thank you to everyone that's actually listening today. I think the my favorite thing about being part of the creative industry is being at the forefront of trends. And particularly in Africa, I think we are such a creative nation. And it's incredible to actually see so much of the creativity being exported to other parts of the world, whether that be through creative that's utilized in, you know, the film industry, music, food, fashion, beauty. And I think that's what excites me most about being part of this industry.
That's great. That's great. And I do want to talk about trends a little bit. One of the things that I want to get clarity on is what you do at Google, because, I mean, you've got this, I mentioned this before we started, you've got, you know, you're the head of marketing for Sub-Saharan Africa, and you're also country marketing manager in South Africa. How do these meet, and how, you know, these hats that you wear, how do they kind of work together and merge in the experience of the user and people who interact and engage with Google?
Yeah, great question. So the role is head of B2B marketing for Sub-Saharan Africa. And what that role entails is the support of small, medium, and large organizations, assisting them with their digital transformation journey. And that looks quite different based on the segment. So if you're a micro business and you're just starting out and, you know, you're running your business in a bricks and mortar fashion where you are, you know, receiving product and then distributing that product to your end consumers, our role there is actually to assist you to create your online presence. And getting online, you know, is multifaceted. You've got to firstly set up your domain. You've got to create a website. You've got to be found. You've got to market your products and services. You've got to continue to upload and, you know, have an updated version of your product lists. So that particular piece of the journey is quite, you know, it's very early for a lot of the small businesses that operate across Africa. And there we assist them in mostly getting online through free tools like Google Business Profiles, which enables small businesses to get found, to get discovered, and actually then to assist customers to actually get directed to those businesses through Maps, for instance. You can review those businesses online. You can actually interact and chat with those businesses to find out if a product is actually in stock, etc. So that's, you know, the small and medium size B2B marketing in a nutshell. What we do with larger organizations that are more sophisticated, that have been online for an extended period of time, they have a web presence, they already engage with their customers online in quite advanced ways, is we assist them to improve their digital marketing capabilities internally at the organizations, as well as through their partners, through agencies, and assist them to run more data-driven marketing, multi-moment marketing is what we call it. And we run a survey to actually determine where they are on this digital marketing transformation scale, starting from, you know, a very a company that's actually just starting out in their journey, all the way through to someone that's really sophisticated. And we create programming for each of the four stages of maturity to try and enable them to become more sophisticated. And the more sophisticated they are, it results in cost savings, it results in efficiencies, and it results in them actually being able to reach their customers quite easily. So that's the first part of the role. The second part of the role is country marketing manager, I beg your pardon, for South Africa. And there we look at initiatives that launch in South Africa and localize those. For instance, we just had the launch of the Equiano subsea cable in South Africa, which has landed in Togo, it's landed in Lagos, it's landed in Namibia and Swartkopmund and St. Helena Bay, and now landed in Melkbosstrand. And in South Africa, we look for partners that could actually help release that capacity to end consumers and then, form those partnerships. And that's the launch that we just had 2 weeks ago. So those kind of initiatives where we look at more localized launches of Google products.
Yeah. Thanks for that. You mentioned that you had that launch 2 weeks ago. I know that in the last week as well, you hosted a few partners and advertisers at, you know, at one of Google's events last week, I think it was, or the week before. What were some of the most notable trends that came out of that event that are worth people worth sort of knowing about, especially from a content creator perspective? Because content creators as well as agencies are telling us that it's important to them to understand how they can collaborate with Google and all their platforms of choice and get a sense that they're being, you know, given the right kind of attention and right kind of partnership. So what are those trends that came out of the event last week, as well as what should content creators be looking out for?
Yeah, so we had quite an exciting event last week called YouTube Festival. And YouTube Festival was an opportunity for us to connect with advertisers and agencies, our partners in the space, as well as creatives from creative agencies. So our theme for YouTube Festival was YouTubers for Everyone. And this to underpin the notion that, you know, YouTube gives everyone a voice. It allows every single person to see the world in so many different ways. And we've not only got a place for every single person, but we've got content that serves all sorts of needs. So there's a, you know, a breadth and a depth of content that you can find on YouTube. And it doesn't matter what your age, your gender, your race, your socioeconomic background is, you can actually watch on YouTube on any screen and at any time. And we had partnered with Ipsos and conducted some research through Ipsos. And through this research, we had, it had been revealed that viewers in South Africa say that YouTube is number one in delivering relevant content. We also, from the same study, had found that 94% of YouTube viewers in South Africa say that YouTube helps them to learn something new. And also for our advertisers, that we had run some research through analytics partner ROI Genome. And on average, YouTube's median ROI is 33% higher than TV. So for creatives, I think, you know, the message here is that, you know, we need to be thinking of multiple different platforms when you plan your media. You can reach an incremental amount of, viewers or audiences that you might not be able to reach through, you know, your typical media channels. So YouTube provides, you know, content for users. They come to YouTube because they find content they can't find anywhere else. And for advertisers, you know, it's been proven to provide access and reach as well as drive ROI.
If you're enjoying The Lead Creative, please share this episode with your network and hit follow or subscribe. Enjoy the show. One of the things I've noticed on YouTube over the past few years, and this keeps changing, of course, is that the content that we are consuming on YouTube, or at least the content I see on YouTube, keeps getting longer and longer, right? I mean, it was first, you know, a 2-minute video was too long, and then a 10-minute video was too long, and then a 15-minute video was too long. Now, there are podcasters and content creators creating 2-hour-long pieces of content. And of course, people are watching more and more YouTube in their homes on their smart TVs. Are African audiences consuming long-form content on YouTube? And if so, what kind of content are we consuming in these longer and longer pieces of content that I'm seeing on YouTube?
Yes, absolutely. So we are seeing, you know, increase in watch time across all forms of content, whether that's long form or short form. And we've actually just released a short form content, which is called YouTube Shorts. And we have 3 billion viewers of YouTube Shorts globally, which is kind of crazy. So, you know, we've got YouTube Shorts, which what we found within YouTube Shorts is it really appeals to the Gen Z and the millennials. And then we've got longer form content that really appeals to a vast range of segments of the audience. So we are seeing watch time increase, you know, in South Africa. It's 61% of the online population are actually watching on YouTube, which is quite incredible if you think about, you know, our online population of around 70% of our population in South Africa online, and you know, 61% of them are actually watching and consuming content on YouTube. And, you know, there's all sorts of success stories on YouTube. You know, you think of the Moase family. Right, yeah. They're a family who tell stories about their own journey through life, and they use cinematography skills that they have in their family and their creativity, and they showcase all of this content, long form as well as short form, and they've got over 800,000 subscribers onto their channel. I mean, that's nearly 1 million subscribers on their channel.
That's amazing.
It's quite amazing. Yeah. And they're a family, you know, so it's not this, it's not only, you know, this Gen Z or this millennial that's sitting behind the screen creating content. It's the entire family, the mother, the father, the daughter, the son. And so that's quite exciting to see that, you know, we are creating content that serves various needs. And there really is a place for everyone, I think, on YouTube.
I think to the point that you're making about this family, it feels to me like, of course, it's reality TV type content, or what would be in a reality series is what I'm getting a sense of. We spoke in one of our episodes to a content creator who creates content specifically for TV with some reality TV content that they create. And what they found is that audiences, at least from a TV perspective, as well as the consumption of their content on digital platforms, is that audiences are finding more and more and creating more and more hyper-localized content. And in this case of this family, I find that to be sort of true. Are you finding that to be true across the continent? Are you finding that to be true in terms of the content that we look for from an African perspective or anywhere in the world that tries to find its roots within the local context?
Yes, I definitely agree with that. I think, you know, the internet and having, you know, access to technology, and it doesn't have to be sophisticated technology. You just need a smartphone and enables you to actually, anyone can become a creator, really. So gone are the days where you actually need a full production team. You need a studio, and you're paying massive fees. We had Nicolette Mashile, who's a creator who actually creates content. Her channel is called Financial Bunny, and she shares content around how to optimize your money, your budgets. What is a budget? How do you even go about, you know, setting up a budget? How do you think about your home loan? How do you think about your vehicle and asset finance? Yeah. And she only shoots through her smartphone. She literally lifts up her smartphone and she shoots through her smartphone and she uploads. And she was the recipient of our Black Voices fund, our YouTube Black Voices fund last year, and got access to coaches and mentors that helped her to optimize her channel. But even without access to the professionals, she was doing so well, and she is doing so well on YouTube. So so I would say that there definitely is a need for localized content, because there are nuances that only apply to people living in this country. For instance, a home loan, you know, is very different to a mortgage in the UK. So there is a need for that content. And I think, you know, for the creatives out there that have any ideas, I think there's definitely, you know, there will be an audience for your content.
So let's take a few steps back then to, you know, to both the family and finance or financial bunny. I'm sorry, I forget her name now. But let's say, let's go a couple of steps back. How do those content creators or those creative minds find ways? How do they collaborate rather with a YouTube? What are some of the things that they should consider or look out for or have in their content that makes them, you know, that makes them sort of good partners or collaborators with the platform?
Yeah, so I think, you know, we've got there's a couple of ways that you can actually, you know, be part of this ecosystem. We've got a YouTube partner program where creators need to have over 1,000 subscribers and more than 4,000 hours of watch time within a 12-month period. And that makes you eligible for this YouTube partner program. And we'll pick that up in the back end, and our partners, our partner managers will actually reach out. So that's a great way. We've got, you know, this massive YouTube Shorts fund, which gives Shorts creators access to $100 million across just over 2 years, in 2021 and 2022. And that Shorts fund is available in more than 100 countries now. And, you know, SSA, markets across SSA are within that 100. So there's a lot of opportunity, I think, for creators. You know, I think what's most important is actually just figure out, what do you love? What are you passionate about? And start creating content based on that. And there will be an audience for you. And once you've got an audience, you know, you're driving your watch time, you're driving your subscriber base, you will be picked up by our tools and our partner managers. And funding as well as the support will be available to you. But I think what's most important is actually to tap into, what are you most passionate about? What do you love doing? What do you love talking about? And, you know, what can you teach other people about?
Absolutely, absolutely. So we're nearing the end of the year now. Black Friday is coming up, and all of these wonderful things are about to happen, especially for brands. What are some of the things or opportunities that brands should consider in their planning for the next year, next 2 years? I know that with the events and launches that you're doing, there's a lot happening in the background, planning for the next, you know, for the next year or 2 years. What are some of those opportunities that from a brand side they should be considering, looking out for, or thinking about as they plan ahead?
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, as we move into the retail, you know, these are pretty much the retail months where people start thinking about, you know, spending for Christmas, for Thanksgiving, for end of year, New Year's, etc. We start to see steady increases in search volumes for products and services. And in fact, for all of the retailers that will be running Black Friday specials, you start to see massive spikes in, you know, searches for consumer electronics, smartphones, for clothing, for instance. So I think what's important for any advertiser is really to optimize on your search activity, make sure that you have coverage on, you know, your typical keywords, but also look at your long tail keywords and optimize for your long tail keywords to drive that traffic up and to drive that traffic to your portal, where you can communicate exactly, you know, what the differentiating offers are from your organization. And then we're also seeing, you know, formats on YouTube drive conversion. So gone are the days when, you know, you think of YouTube very similar to the way that you think of TV as an awareness driver that's only an upper funnel upper funnel, you know, driver of consideration and preference. Now we're seeing a lot more conversion actually take place off YouTube, where we're driving, you know, ROI. So our recommendation to brands that we are working with is optimize your creative. Don't just put your TV ad on YouTube, for instance. You know, optimize your creative for the digital platform and for the digital viewer, where you are front loading with your logo. You've got a very clear call to action, or call to engagement, or call to explore even, and optimize that creative for the correct platform. And then, you know, make sure that your hygiene factors are taken care of, where you are, you know, covered across all of the keywords that are most relevant to your brand, to your products and the services that you sell on Google search.
If you're enjoying The Lead Creative, please share this episode with your network and hit follow or subscribe. Enjoy the show. As we think about some of these optimizations, I mean, as a content consumer and viewer myself, and as someone who kind of works in digital as well, I notice that a lot of these brands sort of miss me as a consumer in that sort of 5 second mark, as I'm watching a YouTube video. What would your advice be in terms of optimizing for YouTube ads, especially?
Yeah, this is a great question. And actually, we had on the same day that we held a YouTube festival, we had a YouTube Insiders event with creative agencies. And we shared this framework called the ABCD framework. And this is a framework for creative recommendations that assists you as a creative to actually create video content that works well and that, you know, performs particularly well on YouTube. And so this framework, if you'll allow me a couple of minutes just to kind of share, the ABCDs stand for attention, branding, connection, and direction. And I'd actually created a LinkedIn post on this because I found it so insightful, not only for creative, but for myself as well, just as someone that shares quite frequently online. So attention really is around jumping in and getting straight to the heart of the story faster. You've got to front load your story arc and use the most compelling part of your ad up front. And here you can use things like audio and supers to support your story. You've got to use bold text and voiceovers. And as they say, be seen and say. So you need to be able to be heard and people need to actually see you. And what's really important, I think, specifically in the African context here around attention, is you need to actually build for the mobile screen in mind. And, you know, I think you also need to consider the fact that a lot of people use smaller smartphones, so their screens aren't as expanded. So think about that as you design your creative for YouTube. And then, you know, what that would mean is zoom into the person that's talking, showcase a key product moment, and use high contrasts. Then the B for branding is around showing up early and throughout your ad. You've got to reinforce your branding with audio mentions, use draw on your branding assets and bring that to life. Have your logo at the top right-hand corner of your video so it's constantly there and there's that association. Then the C for connection, that's all around, you know, actually connecting with your audience. What we found is that ads that perform the best on YouTube are emotive. They create that emotional hook. They make people feel something.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not just functional.
And that's true of all advertising,
right? Definitely.
Yeah, exactly.
You're going to remember the one that made you cry or made you laugh.
Yeah.
So that's just as true, you know, in the traditional world as it is in the digital world. So really humanizing the story, showcasing a diversity of people. And what we found is that ads that actually showcase not actors, but real life people perform better on YouTube. And then what we found in terms of, you know, the long form versus short form is that you should use short form to remind people, but use long form to actually change their mind. So if you're a challenger brand, for instance, and you're trying to get people to switch over, use a longer form piece of content. And then the D for direction, this is basically as you direct your viewers, you know, have a very clear call to action. You've got to have at least one call to action. And you know, if you are driving lower funnel metrics, then use a call to action. If you have upper funnel objectives, then use what we call a call to explore, so people can find more information here or learn more. And that's really important. So I think, you know, that's quite a clear framework that can help creatives to think about, you know, how to actually either create for this platform or utilize your creative assets that exist, but leverage them in the best way possible to drive performance on the digital platform.
That's great. And what I find really fascinating, which is somewhat, I guess, counterintuitive when you think about what we've been taught and what we keep seeing on our screens, that people want to see more everyday people rather than big names or actors or sort of celebrities or whatever it is. For me, that's really fascinating because, of course, a lot of information would tell you that people want recognizable faces, right?
Yeah.
In advertising or for ads to resonate.
You know, so celebrities do perform quite well in the first few seconds, yeah, and they actually drive retention on ads is what we found. But mm-hmm. what makes people right. feel that a product or service can be for them is they've got to see people that look like them. You know, if I see someone that mm-hmm. looks like yeah. me, they feel like me, they sound like me, they might have a similar role as a mother, as a wife, you know, as a sister, as a daughter, that makes me feel like, oh, that product is useful in their life, might be useful in mine yes. too. So I think mm-hmm. that's why, you know, just using everyday people really works.
Right. Just to switch a little bit from sort of bigger brands with bigger budgets, how do smaller teams that work with smaller brands as well as small businesses also gain access to some of these really amazing tools that help businesses grow, that help brands be more recognizable?
Yeah, so we've got a number of programs actually that are available to small businesses. And, you know, let me share actually what we're doing in the startup space, which I think might be quite interesting. You know, we 2 weeks ago, we launched what we call this Black Founders Fund. It was the second cohort of our Black Founders Fund in South Africa that we launched and actually across Sub-Saharan Africa. And this year, we announced 60 Black-founded startups that have now been selected to form part of this cohort. And through this cohort, they receive a total of $4 million in funding and support that helps them to scale their ongoing work. So in South Africa, we had selected 5 grantees. And what's really exciting for us is across the 60, you know, 50% of these businesses are actually women-led businesses. So quite exciting for us as we try to, you know, support more diverse businesses. The access to, you know, the access within this program is not just from a funding perspective, because we understand that funding is important and it helps with, you know, driving licensing, driving licensing agreements, paying for, you know, salaries, etc., which some of these small businesses might struggle with. But we also give these small businesses access to a massive network of mentors and support through the Google network, so that they can actually, you know, learn how to go about managing certain challenges that they might have, or even approach certain opportunities. And so this is how we've been supporting, you know, 60 of these startups across Sub-Saharan Africa as part of the second cohort of the Black Founders Fund.
Yeah, and I mean, I also looked at that and I see that, I mean, there are some agri-tech businesses, there are some businesses that do food and parcel sort of delivery in there. It's really interesting to just look at the businesses that have benefited from, you know, South Africa, Kenya, Rwanda, and all the rest of the other places. What are you seeing from a startup perspective as tech that is being submitted? Are there any trends that you've noticed in terms of the types of apps and technologies that are being submitted to try and solve African problems?
Yes, so like you've rightly said, you know, we're quite excited that some of the sectors that have been supported and the kind of, you know, the most popular ones are fintech, healthcare, e-commerce, logistics, agri-tech, education, hospitality, smart cities. So they come from, you know, quite a broad range of verticals and sectors. And, you know, we're quite excited that, you know, in South Africa, for instance, one of the fintech companies called Credit AIs is actually founded by a woman. So quite a male-dominated space, typically. And this particular business founded by a woman. So, you know, those are definitely the more popular types of startups. But I think, you know, we had 4,000 applications to this Black Founders Fund program. So it just goes to show that, you know, I think we do not have a shortage of talent, innovation or creativity on the African continent. We definitely are not short of organizations that are solving not just for Africa, but solving problems for the rest of the world.
Absolutely. Just one, the last sort of closing question, and it's a two-pronged question. What is coming up in the next year that content creators can leverage for, you know, that content creators can leverage for their content creation, as well as other opportunities that are coming up in the next year or two for in B2B or within the B2B space or within the business space that businesses, that brands can think about and also start leveraging? So content creators on one side and sort of businesses and brands on the other.
So, you know, within the content creation space, we have this Black Voices Fund where we've released 12 YouTube original projects. And within this Black Voices Fund, you know, our intention here is to present fresh narratives that highlight intellectual power, authenticity, dignity, and joy of Black voices, and to educate audiences about racial justice. So I think, you know, we can expect to see more of these types of funds actually, you know, be supported, and for creators within the African region to be supported through these types of funds. We also, like I had mentioned to you, you know, we've got this YouTube Shorts Fund as well. And then in addition, we've got the YouTube partner program. So quite a lot of support actually for creators across the whole African continent. I think for small businesses, you know, this year we had launched a mentorship program, a 5-week mentorship program called the Hustle Academy, where we actually take small businesses through an intense program and help them with, you know, creating a sustainable business model, assisting them with the skills that they need to go out and actually pitch for funding. And so we can expect to kind of continue to see those types of programs exist for small businesses. And, you know, we obviously have all of our free tools as well that are available. And you can find out more about those free tools on the Google for Small Business Hub. So if you were to just search Google for Small Businesses, you'll find that online. And that's an massive hub of free tools that are available that can help you understand, for instance, where interest might be coming from other countries across the world for your product or service, like Tsepo Jeans, who actually started exporting to Netherlands through this tool called Market Finder, once they found that there was, you know, a spike in interest for their product. So, you know, keep up with any of the news. We will continue to support small businesses and creators alike across the continent.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Asha. You guys are doing a lot of really great, really interesting things. And yeah, I hope content creators and small businesses, I know they'll find this useful. I just hope they, you know, make use of the opportunities that are available.
Thank you, Mongezi. Appreciate your time.
Thank you for listening to The Lead Creative. Did you get one insight that's worth sharing from this episode? Please share it with your network or your friends. Pop me some of your ideas and innovative finds on Twitter on @Mongezi. This podcast is available on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can also find me on mongezi.com.